got some good news and bad news. Depends how you look at it. In honor of my brother's 73rd birthday, my lesson is going to be longer than 30 minutes. That's a pretty good guess. We'll have to wait and see. Where's Dan at?
He heard the 30 minutes and left.
I was just going to point out to him, I still put the timer on people, you know what I mean? And when I thought he was done, it was 7:43. And then he kept going. Hint. Hint. There you go. All right. So now we're heading around to 12:30, I think. So
go back to line five. Hurry back down.
So the lesson is entitled The Battle. In our Thursday night young and adult, old adult study, we were talking about the Holy Spirit providing assistance, and as we were speaking about that, the thought flashed through my mind that on Judgment Day, we're going to have an opportunity to see all the various ways that the Holy Spirit helped us out when we didn't even see it or know it. And I suspect for many that there will be a surprising realization that they had a lot more power available to them than they imagined. But because they didn't delve into it, seek it out, want more of it, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. It ain't a little light. It's supposed to be a searchlight, blinding light. So, the power to be overcomers in our personal onslaught has been provided by God, and we may miss it because we lack the faith and trust in God to tap into that power that God has provided us. It takes faith to see the spiritual realm, and faith comes by hearing the Word of God. For those of you who were here last week, Don talked about abiding in the Word, and I believe that is one very powerful key to success. You can't hear a scripture verse one time and it be stuck with you for the next 60 years. I can tell you from personal experience that when we were doing the community outreach, we had a memory verse list. And if you don't use it, you lose it. That's just the challenge. But if you go over them every week, you won't lose them. But getting a grip on the spiritual reality all around us, which we cannot see, but often only see the evidences of it, like we see the wind. You don't see the wind, but rather you see the trees moving the wind, or when you're on the freeway and your car is being buffeted by the wind, you might notice it. Let me tell you, the buffeting wind is much more noticeable at 70 miles an hour on a motorcycle. Or if you get behind a semi, and all of a sudden the whole front end is shaking, and you're thinking, I got to pass this guy or back up, one or the other. The spiritual is not only just as real as the physical world, but is in fact much more important. As I mentioned earlier, World War III may be right around the corner, and, we may, for the first time, be a country that knows what devastation looks like up close and personal. Yes, the people in Gaza, what up close and personal devastation looks like, and they can give you a good idea. And just a quick sidebar, can you imagine what their priorities are on a daily basis compared to ours? Well, let's see, I got to go get my groceries here and about 2 hours, or, I'm not going to be able to make dinner on Monday night. And they're thinking, I wonder if there's going to be any water available. or bread or rice or whatever. Totally different perspective based on your current reality. And what I'm going to try to bring out this morning is to help us see the true reality, the spiritual reality. It's only an attempt. I'm just going to do my best, you know. Unfortunately, this spiritual realm is not a place of peace and joy, but rather it's a raging battleground, and our souls are at stake. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity into the obedience of Christ." Ever wonder how far your walk with the Lord was supposed to go? How much Christ would have you to take in until you were complete? Yeah, I wouldn't wonder about that too much. Just take it day by day. Might be too scary. It's a very high calling to bring every thought into captivity into the obedience of Christ. And it seems like every week I have a greater appreciation for the need to just do that. I know when I slip up or say something particularly stupid that I have let my guard down. I have relaxed and started thinking only of myself, and then Satan pounces. When I am meditating on spiritual things, like lessons or conversations I've had or would like to have, or working on memory verses, Satan isn't around very close. So now we have to ask ourselves this question: how was your walk this week? Did you win some skirmishes? Were you victorious in any battles? Are you weary against fighting against your carnal nature? Does it seem like you're the only one that has this struggle? Probably because you're making some progress. If you're having challenges, it means that you must be trying to do something right, and the enemy is advancing. They don't want you to be successful. So we're going to look at some scriptures to renew our minds and renew our hopes, that we might remain steadfast. Because whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and the comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. It is a spiritual war that we're fighting, and the armor and the weapons we have are also spiritual. According to Ephesians 6, God's truth around our waist, a breastplate of righteousness, gospel of peace on our feet, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit. So we're going to turn to the Old Testament to try and get some comfort and encouragement so that we stay on course. Because the underlying theme to this message this morning is the road is long, the road is hard, and there are some people who get weary at the end of the road, just as they're getting close to the end of the road, and they just kind of sit down on their hands and give up. And we don't want that to happen. So we're going to turn to Joshua chapter 10, just a couple of verses. And of course, I can start talking faster if I need to. Joshua 10, picking up in about verse 8. "Joshua therefore came upon them suddenly, having marched all night from Gilgal. So the Lord routed them before Israel, killed them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, chased them along the road that goes to Beth Horon, and struck them down as far as Azekah and Makkedah. And it happened as they fled before Israel and were on the descent of Beth Horon that the Lord cast down large hailstones from heaven on them as far as Azekah, and they died. There were more who died from the hailstones than the children of Israel killed with the sword. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and said in the sight of Israel, 'Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and the moon in the valley of Ajalon.' So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, till the people had revenge upon their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. And there has been no day like that, before it or after it, that the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. So not only did God get involved in the slaughter, he held up the sun for a whole day so Joshua could continue with his business of eliminating the Amorites. Joshua's sword and God's hailstones. Joshua's determination and God's stopping nature in its tracks. But notice the effort required of Joshua and the people. They picked up their weapons and they moved out in faith. They did the fighting and the stabbing and the hacking. They weren't sitting on the hillside with picnic baskets and a bottle of Avion watching God do his thing. They had their part to do. It wasn't easy for them, and neither will it be easy for us. And sure, we've all had our less than stellar days, sort of the reason for this encouragement. We all have our days when we are not as successful as we would like to be, and we wonder if we're on track. Because this walk that we have is a partnership that requires effort on our part and also on God's part. And it needs to be one with patience. Because sometimes we do get frustrated and we just think, God's not here, God don't care, I can't get through this. Oh, what am I going to do? God's here. great power in overcoming our enemies if we remain faithful as partners. Now, everyone knows the story of David and Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And remember, reading these Old Testament stories or accounts helps strengthen your faith. And the other thing we need to do is repeat it often. Because when we start forgetting, then we start relying on our own wisdom to do things. And that's not how God wants it to work. So in 1 Samuel 17, just a couple of verses, 45. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword, with spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." This is our battleground. Will we do it on our own? No. Will we use our own strength of will and discipline? No. We're only going to be successful in this if we take God with us. But God isn't going to do all the chasing either. God is not going to remove the lust from your heart. God doesn't take away your cravings for cigarettes, alcohol, or other things that we can get addicted to. But he does help us overcome them. He doesn't remove anger or hate for your brother from your heart. He doesn't seal up your lips with super glue so you don't say anything stupid or gossip. He doesn't add clothes to men and women to keep us from lusting. He doesn't change your $10 bill into a $100 bill to help your giving. God has provided a means for us to overcome things. It has to be our desire to do so. He provides the power through our faith, which comes from his word, and the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. The more we know of God, the greater our faith. The greater our faith, the more power we have. As Steve has often said, it's not us trying harder. It is believing more. Well, you can't believe more if you don't read more. If you're just, you know, doing, how does he say that? A couple of verses in the morning. Can you live on one potato chip? I don't think so. I don't stop until at least 10. You know, one potato chip just gets the saliva going. You know, you can't survive on one verse. The more we believe, the more we understand God, and the more we trust Him to fulfill His promises, which we get from the Old Testament, the more trust, the more success we have in fighting spiritual battles. God is not willing that any should perish, 2 Peter 3:9. And behold, the hand of the Lord is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Because sin is our kryptonite. It will kill us. Not only that, our kryptonite isn't buried in the ground. We have Satan laying it all over wherever he can, trying to get our attention to see if it attracts us. I wonder if you have a sin that you really like. How are you going to overcome it? Well, first you have to understand what this sin will cost you. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, or separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What will separation from God be like? Remember the story of the rich man and poor Lazarus who died in Luke 16? You can turn there if you wish, Luke 16. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Just a couple of verses. Starting in verse 22. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. What sinful pleasure in this world is worth an eternity of that? This morning, everybody would agree. No sinful pleasure is worth that. But what about 6 months from now? When this verse is fading from your memory, assuming you don't go back over it and keep it in the forefront of your mind, and the verse is fading from your memory and you are confronted with a temptation, that is what happened to those who came out of Egypt. The memory of God speaking to them from the mountain had faded from their memory, and they stopped trusting in God to take care of them. Remember when God spoke to them from the mountain and they were all shaking and quaking in their boots? He said, Moses, you go talk to him, and whatever he says, we will do. Well, how long did that last? Till the memory started fading. First Corinthians chapter 6. Picking up in about verse 18, because we have a couple of very common tools that Satan uses here. 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you are bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Remembering that we are no longer our own, but that we belong to somebody else, and trying to do that on a daily basis will help us keep our spiritual focus. But when you get up and the first word out of your mouth is, I. Well, I got to do this today, and I got to do this today, and I got to do this, and I got to go there. When you have I as the first word in a sentence, it's probably going to be harder for you to keep spiritual focus, because every time you say I, you start thinking about the I, the me. It's all about me. I got to have my time, I time. Yeah. It's not about us. It's about God. And we belong to Him. And the life that we live should be lived for Him. And I don't want to get ahead of myself. 1 Corinthians 10:14, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry, image worship. Maybe it is ourselves or the things we own, whatever we decide that has a higher priority of God. Sometimes it isn't a matter of fleeing. Sometimes it's a matter of standing and facing the challenge and overcoming. Even the Apostle Paul, who was filled with the Holy Spirit and was able to perform miracles, had the same battles that we had. And he, through the ages, is still calling out an encouragement in 1 Corinthians 9:25. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. His son Timothy, in the faith, also had to be encouraged. And this encouragement was to fight in 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you also were called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. And even in Paul's day, there was a need for the brethren to help one another in 2 Timothy 4. I'm going to have to read a few verses here. He writes to them, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead as his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Be watchful, endure afflictions, and don't lay down when the going gets tough. Don't quit when you have a couple of bad days. Don't toss in the towel when you come up short or where you think you should be by now. Press on, because you got no other choice. This is a battle. It's every day. You get up in the morning, and it's like you're living in Gaza, and you got to walk over the rubble, and you got to seek for food. But the food that you need to be seeking is spiritual food. You need to be in the Word of God constantly, praying for deliverance. And it, you know, Steve and I, we have talked, and we realize that the color of hair has indicated that we're getting close to the end of our days. 70. He's gone over. I've still got a couple of months, but he's gone over. And we need to keep encouraging the body to press on after we are gone. I won't digress. I was thinking about it, but I won't. God doesn't want us to fail. He will be with us all the way. And you will have victory if you don't quit. 1 Corinthians 15:55, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hebrews chapter 3. I'm watching the clock. Only for your benefit. Only for your benefit. Hebrews 3. Let's Let's pick up in verse 12. I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst. I'm in 2. I'm sorry, 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast till when? Till the end. While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? Now with them, with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest? But to those who did not obey, so that we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Didn't the nation of Israel follow Moses into the wilderness? Yes. Didn't they all pass through the sea? Yes. Didn't they all realize what a great salvation had been provided for them? Yes. But after a while, they got weary, and their memories of God and his deliverance faded. Then when they were told to go forth and take the promised possession, they considered their weaknesses and compared them to the giants of the land and decided they couldn't do it, faint of heart, weak in faith, doubting God would deliver. And we know what happened to them. God has the power and he is with us. Even when we don't feel like he's with us, even when we feel like we're all alone and not being as successful as we try to walk as Jesus walked. That doesn't change the situation. God is with us. God's given us the power. We need to tap into that power even when we feel weak. Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endures such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted the bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Yes, we are in a great battle. It is not a stroll in the park. Jesus was steadfast all the way to the end, even knowing the cruel death that he must suffer. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We are in this battle in which the very creator of the universe is standing back to back with us. God is with us and willing to make the sun stand still in the sky if that's what we need. But we are to pick up the sword and fight, and we are to flee from the pleasures of sin. There ain't no timeouts in this battle. You just can't stand around and watch sin all around you and not be affected. And at times we must demonstrate personal discipline, and sometimes we must be disciplined. You're not going to be disciplined unless you're in the Word of God and seeing what it is that God expects from you. How will you know that you have transgressed his word unless you know what it says? Do not develop a hard heart of unbelief. Do not begin to think that you are too weak to overcome a particular sin or that it is impossible for you. Because, well, technically it is impossible for you, but with God's power, it is not impossible. If Satan can chase us around this world and browbeat us and make us miserable all the way to the very end, and we never stand up with the power of God, he wins and we lose. We need to tap into that power, recognize God gave it to us for a reason, look into His holy word and see how it can be applied. Hebrews 3:12, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For if we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. That's this morning's encouragement. You've all heard this before. We're repeating it, because if you don't repeat it, you're going to lose it. In the beginning of this message, I talked about meditating on spiritual things and spiritual conversations, or working on memory verses. And when I'm doing that, Satan isn't around. That's the part of the believing more. That is the abiding in the living word. That is keeping Jesus on the frontlets of your mind throughout the day. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12:2. This morning, with the news blaring the way it was last night, there's a lot of craziness happening in this world with our U.S. politics, with Israel and Iran, Syria, Russia, Ukraine, Myanmar's internal struggles. But that's nothing compared to the spiritual war that each and every one of us must fight, because it has eternal consequences. All the rest of them wars, people die and it's all done. If we die outside of Christ, if we give in and Satan wins over our walk, if we don't keep Jesus as the focus of our walk, it'll be eternal, and we are not going to be happy. We may get weak, we may get tired, we may get worn, we may get weary, but the battle has been won if we keep our eyes on the author and the finisher of our faith, the Lord Jesus. Thank you for your attention. 12:05.